Gospel of John, chapter number 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. John 3:1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, Ye must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and we receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We're going to take as our text this morning, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we're going to take as our title this morning, the four dimensions of God's love. The four dimensions of God's love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you loved us. Oh, we'd been in a heap of trouble if you hadn't. Lord, you didn't just talk about love. It just wasn't words that came out of your mouth or black words sitting on white paper. Lord, you didn't just talk it, you showed it. And I thank you for the gospel that's contained in this simple verse. We pray for each and every one here this morning, Lord, that you would stir our hearts. Please, God, as many of us in this room, are reminded of a day when we received Christ as our Savior. And Lord, we can't afford to forget this. We can't afford, Lord, to forget what a wonderful thing that you did for us on Calvary's cross, sending your only begotten Son of this world to die for the sins of all mankind. And Lord, there may be 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know, maybe a handful of people here today that's never received you as Savior. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak powerfully to their hearts during the course of the message. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you can be seated. John 3:16, you could corner most of the young people, even down to the very smallest of children around this church, and you could say, could you quote to me John 3:16, and most of them would do a fairly accurate job of doing so. What a special verse. G. Campbell Morgan said that about John 3:16, this is a text I never attempted to preach on, though I have gone around it and around it. It is too big. When I have read it, there is nothing else to say. If we only knew how to read it so as to produce a sense of it in the ears of people, there would be nothing to preach about. Dr. Ralph Smith said this, one of my minister friends has made over 600 outlines on John 3:16, whose central truth is the immeasurable, unfathomable love of God for all mankind. That's pretty good. Henry Morehouse began to preach when he was 16 years old. He died in his early manhood. Every time he stood to preach, he gave us his text, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One man said, if all the Bible were destroyed except John 3:16, anyone anywhere could be saved by believing this oft-quoted and cherished verse. I like this little... A little this little outline about John 3:16. I'm not going to use it this morning, but I love it. Somebody called this the greatest verse ever, the world's greatest verse. This is the outline they gave. God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest need, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest person, should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. Wow, man alive, aren't you glad I'm not using that outline? We wouldn't get out to 3 o'clock this afternoon, you see. Folks, I'm going to attempt to do what G. Campbell Morgan would not do, and I'm going to attempt to do what others have done, and I'll fail in the process, because how in the world can you take a few minutes and get to the depth of John 3:16? I'll never forget the story I read once where D.L. Moody left his church, the Moody Church, and he had to be overseas for 2 weeks, but an evangelist came in and was going to preach 2 weeks worth of meetings. Brother Moody said, "What are you going to preach on?" And he said, "I'm going to take a different night and take one of the most important key scriptures and preach on a different key scripture every single night for 2 weeks." And Mr. Moody said, "I assume John 3:16 will be one of them." And he said, "It's the very first one." When D.L. Moody returned back from his trip, he said, "Let me ask you, how did it go?" Well, using the key verses of the Bible. He said, "Well, I started on the first Monday night on John 3:16. He said, "I never got to any other verse. That's as far as I ever got." Every night he'd preached out of John 3:16. I'm going to use this outline this morning, the four dimensions of God's love. Let me give you the outline so you'll know where we're going. Number one, we're going to look at the width of God's love, the width of God's love. For God so loved the world. Then we're going to look at the length of God's love, that he gave his only begotten son. Then we're going to look at the depths of God's love, that whosoever believeth in him. And then we're going to look at the height of God's love, should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Let's start with the width of God's love. When we bought our place where we live right now, we took possession of it. We moved our things in. I set Cheryl busy moving in and getting things settled in the house. And I did what every guy wants to do, and that's go out to the outbuildings and get the outbuildings organized. Amen. And I went into that little shed, that little shack of a shed that stood behind the house. And everything had been taken out by the previous owner except for one little wooden plaque that was nailed to the wall there. And that little wooden plaque had on it a very common verse that many of you have read or seen that some man wrote. And it simply said this: "I looked up to heaven and asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he stretched out his arms and died for me." And I think that says a lot right there. Can I read you a neat story? And read a neat story that I think maybe would speak to your heart this morning. It's entitled, He merely showed his hands. William Dixon lived in England. He was a widower who had also lost his only son. One day he saw that the house of one of his neighbors was on fire. Although the aged owner was rescued, her orphaned grandson was trapped in the blaze. Dixon climbed an iron pipe on the side of the house and lowered the boy to safety. His hands that held on to the pipe were badly burned. Shortly after the fire, the grandmother died. The townspeople wondered who would care for the boy. Two volunteers appeared before the town council. One was a father who had lost his son and would like to adopt the orphan as his own. William Dixon was to speak next, but instead of saying anything, he merely held up his scarred hand. When the vote was taken, the boy was given to him. Well, I'll tell you what, how much did Jesus love you? How much did you love me, Jesus? You know what? Jesus wouldn't have to answer one word. All he'd have to do this morning is hold up his scarred hands and he'd show us how much he loved us. One of these days, if you're born again, one of these days, if you're saved, you'll get to stand before Jesus. One man said this: "The only man-made thing in heaven will be the scars in Jesus' hand." Does Jesus love me, Brother Jerry? Oh, yes, he does. How do I know he loves me? Because he has the nail scars in his hands that proved how much he loves you. That is the width of God's love, his hands. Number two, let's look at the length of God's love, the length of God's love, that he gave his only begotten son. Can I have you turn to Mark chapter number 15? Let's go there. What is the length of God's love? Well, there's only one place we could go to read about that. There's only one chance we have to comprehend it. Mark chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 15. Would you listen with an open heart? Would you let the scripture speak to your heart? And as we read this, every single verse that we read, I would like for you to repeat inside of your heart, inside of your mind silently, He did that for me. He did that for me. Mark chapter 15, verse 16, and the soldiers led him away into the hall. This is speaking of Jesus, called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knee, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon a Cyrenian, who passing by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And when they passed by, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said unto them among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Watch this. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that heard that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth for Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink, saying, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And by the way, what he cried was, "It is finished. It is finished." And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. The centurion, which stood over against them, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Brother Jerry, what's the length of God's love? I'll tell you what length God would go to save a condemned man. What length God would go to allow us to enter into heaven. He sent his only begotten Son. He gave Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Amen. Can I read this little story? I hope it pricks your heart. You know, that's the greatest story we could ever read from the pulpit. What you just heard, folks, I'm afraid we've come so hardened to and so callous about, even those that are saved, we read the story of the crucifixion, it hardly touches us. Shame on us. This is the greatest story ever told. Dr. Walter L. Wilson tells the story of a woman who had attended one of his meetings and waited after the service for spiritual help. When he asked her if she could quote any part of the scripture, she said that she had once learned John 3:16 in Sunday school. He then asked her to quote it. Watch this. She recited, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Noticing that she had said forgotten for begotten, he said, "Do you know why God forgot his Son?" She said, "No, I don't." And Dr. Wilson said, "It was because he wanted to remember you." Then Dr. Wilson led her to a knowledge of Jesus as Savior and Lord. You know what? I'm not sure that could not be the accusation that is written upon written upon this generation, is that we treat Jesus as God's only forgotten Son. His only forgotten Son. What length would you go to? What length would you go to, Jesus? What length would you go to, God? I mean, prove your love. What's the length you would go to? I'll tell you the length Jesus went to. He went and died on an old rugged cross, church. He allowed a bunch of soldiers to mock him and spit on him and drive a crown of thorns in his head. They then took him and put a cross on his back. And then they made him march all the way up Golgotha's hill. And then they drove nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And you know what? He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have been rescued, but he stayed on that cross because you know what? He was proven to you the length of his love, the length of his love. Let me read you something I think is pretty neat here. Just a little short story. In St. Paul's Cathedral in London is a life-size marble statue of Christ writhing in anguish on the cross. Watch this. The statue is superscribed, "This is how much God loved the world." This is how much God loved the world. What is the length of God's love? The length of God's love was proved on Calvary's cross. Brother Jerry, what about the depth of God's love? Let me give you the next part of this verse. That whosoever believeth in him. What's the depth of God's love? The depth of God's love reaches down so far that it can save anybody that will turn to Jesus Christ and be a Savior. And you know, I think folks, sometimes we think that there's folks below us or farther down than us that God had to say. Let me tell you something. It took the same grace of God to save a preacher's boy as it did a drunkard. And Jesus was willing to reach way down. His love was willing to reach to whosoever. Whosoever. I want to share a story with you, and I think I mentioned this the other day, but I'm so excited that I've got this little message, this wonderful word that pops up in the Bible over and over and over again. Whosoever, whosoever, whosoever. You know what that does? That gives me a license to share the gospel with anybody and everybody. I never have to look at an individual and say, I wonder if that's one of them God died for. I wonder if that's one of them that God wants to save. I wonder if that's one of them that God predestined to be saved. I think that's all a bunch of baloney. I think God wants to save everybody. I just give the gospel out to everyone because whosoever means anybody. I went and seen Brother Estill in the hospital, and Brother Estill, I'll be honest with you, was having a pretty dark day that day. He had some dark days. He spent a long time in the hospital, a lot of that racked with intense pain. The doctors were scratching their head. Test after test was run. There just seemed to be no answer to his problem. For 11 days, they poked and prodded and came in and took blood tests and ran him down, and two MRIs and CAT scans and x-rays. And every single day, the doctor would come in again and say, we're just going to have to run more tests. I don't know what's wrong. I just don't know what's wrong. After 11 days of that, folks, you're very discouraged. You're worn out. You just want to go home. And I came in to visit him in the room there. And I sat down, pulled a chair, and we began to chit-chat. And he began to open his heart to me a little bit. And I could tell he was troubled with his emotions. He said, Brother Jerry, I just want an answer. I don't know what's going on. I just don't understand why. Have you ever been there? I just don't understand why. Why isn't there an end to this? What's going on? He just seemed confused about it. And all of a sudden, as we were chit-chatting, we were talking about the grace of God and the love of God and how much God cares about him. And sometimes we can't see things from God's perspective. And all of a sudden, a voice behind us on the other side of that drawn curtain spoke up. And this man, an elderly man, 70-some years old, began to join in the conversation. We pulled the curtain back, and here's a 70-some year old man, and he's in the hospital, and he's a diabetic, and he's having trouble getting a sore on his foot to heal. He said, I spent 2 months in the hospital. He said, then I was out for 2 weeks. Now I'm back in again. And he was talking about how long, because we were talking about how long Brother Estill had been in. And as this man began to talk to me, I asked him questions. Brother Abel was a truck driver, drove a truck for 40-some years. He began to tell me about some of his experiences. Finally, I said, sir, let me ask you a question. And by this time, I've shifted the chair around. I'm facing away from Brother Estill and facing this man. Let me ask you a question. If you died right now, what would happen to you? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Has anyone ever taken the Bible and explained to you how much God loves you and what he'd done for you? And man, that man said to himself, he said, no, I'm not a saved man. He said, I've heard bits and pieces here and there. And he said, many times I thought to myself, boy, it would be good to be saved, it'd be good to be a Christian. But he said, you know what, I've never done it. I guess I've never just known how. And man, I got to take my New Testament, and I got to be able to quote scripture to him and share the word of God with him for some time. And pretty soon he was bowing his head and receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior, praying and calling out to God for salvation. I looked over at Brother Estill, and tears was running down his face, and he couldn't say anything, but he kind of just kept nodding at me and nodding at me like, you know what, Brother Jerry, I guess we figured out why I was in here for 11 days. I guess we figured out why we couldn't find an answer. I guess we just figured out why I was supposed to be here. By the way, that man was brought into his room, stayed one day, and was transferred out of his room and had a different roommate by the time I went to see him the next day. You know what? Maybe God's just in control. You know what? I didn't have to pull that curtain back and say, let me see what color this man is, whether or not he qualifies. Let me ask you what your background is to see whether or not you qualify for salvation. How much money do you make? Where do you live? What part of town do you live? What's your last name? Listen, if they're human and they're breathing, they're part of the reason that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins, you know. You know, sometimes, folks, it's easy to get somebody that's lost and knows that they're lost and has lived maybe a life that's against God. It's easy to get them. You know, the hardest people in the world to get saved is the type of people that Jesus was dealing with when we were reading this in John 3, chapter number 3. It's the religious people. Brother Jerry, I'm glad that old truck driver got saved. You need to get saved too. Well, I'm glad that old heathen got saved, or a prostitute got saved. I'm glad that old drunkard Ron Allen got saved. Hey, you need to get saved too. Oh, but Brother Jerry, you don't understand. I've been raised in church, and I've done religious things, and I'm a good person. And I said, you need to get saved too. Jesus said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say that to a drunkard. He didn't say that to a prostitute. He didn't say that to an old dopehead. He said that to a religious man, a religious leader in Israel. Some of the hardest people in the world to get saved are people that think because they're a member of a church, or because they carry a Bible, or because they were raised in a Christian home, that they themselves don't have to be born again. Yes, you do. Now, here's the question. Has there ever been a time, think back, when you've ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there ever been a time when you were born again? Now, many people in this room, their minds are going back to a time where they stood in a service, maybe like this morning. Or they were in vacation Bible school, or maybe they were in a Sunday school class or children's church, or maybe somebody knocked on their door, or maybe they were in the hospital. And they remember when somebody came in and told them about the love of God. Explained from the Bible how that they were sinners, that we were all sinners. And because we're all sinners, folks, we all stand condemned before God. You say, well, this person sins deeper than mine, or wider than mine, or longer than mine, Listen, do you have sin? Then you're a sinner. Then you're a sinner. We all stand condemned before God. Jesus came to the earth and died on the cross for our sin. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen, folks, we need to get under conviction of sin. You're never going to get saved if you never get lost. This matter of Jesus dying on the cross wasn't for all the bad people. It's for all of us. Because you know what? Standing next to a holy God, standing next to perfect righteousness, there's not a one of us that looked very good. I'm going to tell you something. God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin. Well, and the depth of God's love is the whosoever in that verse, reaching way down. There's no person in the world that if they would turn to Christ with a repentant heart, Jesus Christ wouldn't come to their heart and save them and cleanse them and make them white as snow. Your name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning if you'd simply get saved. What about the height of God's love, Brother Jerry? We looked at the width of God's love, for God so loved the world. The length of God's love, that He gave His only begotten Son. The depth of God's love, that whosoever believeth in Him, the height of God's love, should not perish but have everlasting life. How high does the love of God go? It's high enough to take you all the way to heaven. High enough to take you all the way into heaven. That's how high the love of God goes. Can I read you some comforting verses about heaven? I'll tell you something. One of my favorite subjects in all the Bible is just to read a little bit about heaven. See, Jesus is preparing a place for us. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you hear that? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen, 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 amen. How much does God love you, Brother Jerry? He's going to love me enough to die on the cross for my sins. He loved me enough to be buried 3 days and raised from the dead. He loved me enough to make a promise to me that if I'd get saved, he'd come down one of these days, come back and get me and take me to where he is. He's preparing a place for me. It's a mansion up there in heaven. Got my name on the door. You say, Brother Jerry, you deserve that? Nope, nope, neither do you. There's not a person in here that deserves that. I'll tell you what we deserve. We deserve to go to hell. That's where our sin ought to have sent us. But Jesus stood in the way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus stood in the way and said, no, I'll go die for them. Let me prove to them, Lord, that when we say we love them, it's just not words. Let me show them the width of our love. Let's show the length of our love. Let's show the depth of our love. Let's show the height of our love. The little girl that went out camping with her mama, and this little girl was from the city. Because she was in the city, most of what God had made had been blocked by buildings and asphalt and pavement, and the bright lights prevented her from even seeing the heavens most of the time as they ought to be seen. But all of a sudden, they went out in the country, and they spent a night, and she laid awake underneath the stars in wonderment and saw all of that. The next morning, she got up early with her mama, and she watched the sunrise in the east, and she'd never seen anything like that. And finally, she said this, oh, mama, if heaven is so beautiful on the wrong side, what must it be like on the right side? We're on the wrong side of it right now. And I'm going to tell you, I've had some opportunities in the last few weeks to watch God just paint a sunrise. And if it's that beautiful on the wrong side, what must it be like on the right side? How high is the love of God, Brother Jerry? What's the height of the love of God? It's high enough to take you right to that celestial city. Now the question begs to be asked, are you ready to go? Have you ever been born again? This is the whole purpose and mission of the church. This is why we meet. Nothing is more important than knowing that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. So if you don't know that, you ought to know it by the time you leave here. Well, how would I do that, Brother Jerry? Just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. And as we begin to sing, we're going to invite people to come. Many, many people in this room, including the person in front of you, has at one time sat in a service like this one. And when the invitation was given, listen, we laid our pride aside. We laid our unbelief aside. We headed for the aisle and marched up here and got a hold of somebody and said, hey, show me how to be saved. And the Bible can be opened this morning. In a few minutes, we could explain to you in detail how you can be born again. And if you would simply trust Christ with all of your heart, repent of your sins, and ask him to be your Savior, you know what? You could have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life today. I don't know any better news than this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift our hearts up to you this morning. And we want to thank you for the love that you offered to us. Lord, we'd be hopelessly lost, condemned, if it were not for the fact that your love made you stand up one day and say to the Father, send me down there, send me. Thank you for being born of a virgin. Thank you for being the Son of God. Thank you for living a sinless life. Thank you for going through with that horrible death on Calvary's cross. Thank you for taking in those 3 hours of darkness the sins of the whole world and putting them on yourselves. Thank you for being the perfect sacrifice for sin. Thank you for shedding your blood so that we can have remission of sin. And Lord, thank you that the invitation still goes out today. Whosoever, 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 anybody, anybody, anybody. It's for everybody. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you're here this morning and you'd say, Brother Jerry, the honest truth is, if I were to die right now, I don't know what would happen to me. I'm just going to be honest with you, preacher. Nobody's looking around. It's just me and you. And I don't know what would happen. Yeah, I guess I couldn't say that I have absolute assurance that I'd be in heaven. I look back and think through my life, and I try to pinpoint a time when I was born again, when I was saved. That's just not happened. Oh, I need something to happen this morning. I feel the convicting power of God upon my life. I'd like to know more about this. I'm not saved. I'm not saved, Brother Jerry. I'm pretty sure I'm not saved, but I'm concerned about it. If you'll just simply raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you, but I'll pray for you. Just between me and you, I'll pray for you. That's me, Brother Jerry. I'm not saved. Would you pop your hand up so I can pray? Just pop your hand right up so I can pray for you. Anybody like that? Anybody? Anybody at all? How many would say, Brother Jerry, you know what? By the grace of God, this has been a good message, because all through the message, I kept going back and visiting that time when I received Jesus as my Savior. I can remember it. I know where I was. I remember who talked to me. I remember when I prayed and asked Christ to save me. I have no doubt about that. If Jesus was come today, or if I were to die, I know that heaven would be my home, because I have been saved. Would you raise your hand in testimony to that? Amen. Aren't you glad God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Heavenly Father, You saw the hands. I pray, Lord, that You'd meet with us. Lord, if there be one here that's unsure of salvation, that today would be the day when they're saved, please, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.